الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى اما بعد اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وقالوا اتخذ الله ولدا سبحانه بل له ما في السماوات وما في الارض كل له قانتون سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين وقالوا اتخذ الله ولدا And they say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken a child, subhanahu. And he is free from all this. بَلَّهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ Instead, whatever is in the skies and in the heavens and the earth belongs to him. كُلٌّ لَهُ قَانِتُونَ And whatever is in the heavens and the skies is obedient towards him. قانتون means obedient. وَقَالُوا اتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ وَلَدًا And they say that Allah has taken a child, Allah has a son. And whose aqeedah, whose faith is this? This is the faith of the Christians, right? And the Christians believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a child and that child is Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. They call Isa alayhi salatu wasalam the son of God. And now the question is this really the faith of the Christians? And according to the Quran, this was not the faith of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. This was not the faith of the followers of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. Because there has been so much changes in the Bible, in the message of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, that people who had love for Isa alayhi salatu wasalam now rank him just like God. And that is why they call him the son of God. So they do not think of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam as the prophet, but they think of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam as the God. Now the same topic is mentioned in Surah Al-Ikhlas. Most of the Muslims, they know Surah Al-Ikhlas. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ اللَّهُ السَّمَدْ لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ Say that Allah is one. Allahu samad, He is absolute. لَمْ يَلِدْ No one has given birth to him. وَلَمْ يُولَدْ He has not given birth to anyone. So Allah Ta'ala has cleared this in other ayahs of the Quran. So this explaining one ayah of the Quran with other ayahs of the Quran is called Tafsir Bil Quran. The Tafsir of Quran with the Quran. So this is Tafsir Al Quran Bil Quran. But the Tafsir of this ayah is also mentioned in the Hadith. In a Hadith it comes, the Prophet ﷺ said that on the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when Allah will be punishing, will be angry with the Christians, Allah ta'ala will ask Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, أَأَنْتَ قُلْتَ Did you tell them that you were the son of God? And before Isa alayhi salatu wasalam would answer, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam says that he will be in such a fear, state of fear, Isa alayhi salatu wasalam will be in such a state of fear that as soon as Allah will ask the question, and of course the answer is that Isa alayhi salatu wasalam did not tell his people to worship him, but just because Allah will be in such a state of anger, it is said that Isa alayhi salatu wasalam will be so fearful that blood will come out from each and every part of his body. That's how fearful he will be. So, Allah Ta'ala says, وَقَالُوا اتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ وَلَدًا They say that Allah has taken a child, سُبْحَانَهُ He is pure. He is clear from all these things. This is, he's above all these things. He's above giving birth to a child, and he's above getting a child, he is above depending on a child. Instead, Allah Ta'ala says, بَلْ لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. He is that to whom belongs what is in the heavens and the earth. And this is a very, very big dalil, a very big reason to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That the size of the universe, the size of the samawat and earth is so big that from that you can understand how big the Lord is. If you open an encyclopedia and you try to find out what is the size of the universe, the encyclopedia would say the size of the universe is unknown. If you open the topic size of the universe, the first sentence the encyclopedia would say is the size of the universe is unknown. All those people who spend their lives trying to measure the size of the universe, they say that there is no size of this universe. We cannot comprehend the size of the universe. So if you cannot comprehend the size of the universe, you cannot comprehend the maker of the universe. And if you just turn your eyes towards the size of the universe, you will be baffled how big this size is. So the scholars or the scientists say that we don't know the size of the universe. There is an observable size. What is the observable size? Observable size is that size that through telescopes and through different gadgets, the scientists have come up to a size of the universe, which they say that this is the observed, this is what we have observed. It probably is bigger than this. And what is that size? That size is 93 billion light years. What is 93 billion light years? How many kilometers is that? Can somebody tell me how many kilometers is that?
Light travels 10^8 meters per second, per second. Now in the light year you can multiply by this over here, you can find.
One light year is equal to roughly equal to 10 trillion kilometers. So 10 trillion kilometers times 93 billion is the size of the observable universe. They say it is beyond that. This is what we have observed. So what a humongous universe this is. So if this universe is just unbelievably humongous, we cannot comprehend how humongous. The way to understand this is that the closest star, this millions of stars that we can view with our own eyes, the closest star to us is more than one light years away, is more than 10 trillion kilometers away. So this is a huge universe. And this is what baffles the scientist. That whoever has created this is very, very powerful. It's very powerful. In a hadith it comes that the Prophet ﷺ has said that the one who says Subhanallah once, he will be given a tree in Jannah. And that tree in Jannah will be so big that if a horse runs under that tree and keeps on running for 500 years, the horse will stop, the shadow of the tree will not end. So one of our scholars from the US was here a couple of weeks ago. And he is an engineer also, and he's a very scholar, and he's a sheikh of tasawwuf as well. So I was sitting with him, and he told me, do you know what is the real estate of that tree, under that tree? If you take the length of what the horse is running, if you take that as the diameter of that real estate, then do you know what the size of that real estate would be? I was like, no. He's like, bring a piece of paper. And then he calculated the area, if that is the diameter. And on an average, if a horse runs continuously, maybe in 22 days, he is going to cover the circumference of the earth. So when we did all the calculations. We were sitting on the dinner table actually, and we did all this calculation. We came up to this, that roughly, this is a very conservative conservative figure, and that figure is that somebody who says Subhanallah once, he is going to get this much real estate in Jannah, which is going to be equal to 8 to 10 million times the size of the earth. Subhanallah. So it is, this Lord is humongous. This earth is not even a speck. This earth is not even a small point on a very big piece of land. This is what this earth is. There is a surah in the Quran called the Ayatul Kursi. The Prophet ﷺ has said that this is the greatest ayah of the Quran. And in a hadith it comes that the one who recites Ayatul Kursi in his house, the shaitan cannot enter the house. So it is a very, powerful ayah of the Quran. And it mentions the Kursi, the chair of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one of the sahabi, he asked that in Ayatul Kursi, Allah ta'ala says that this Kursi is so big that all the heavens and the earths can actually, you know, can actually dissolve in that Kursi, or can this Kursi can actually handle the whole of the heavens and the earth. So he asked the question, what is the size of this Kursi? This is what he asked the Prophet ﷺ. Abu Zar Ghafari radiallahu anhu asked that, O Prophet of Allah, what is the size of this Kursi, of this chair of Allah? The Prophet ﷺ said that, I swear upon the one in whose hand is my life, that the size of the Kursi and the size of this heaven and the earth is like a very big piece of land, a very big field. And if there is a small piece of jewelry, a small piece of jewelry that you wear in your ring, a small piece of ring, if you put that in that piece of, in a very big field, this is what the ratio of that Kursi is with the heavens and the earth. So this Lord is humongous. And you cannot not say that this Lord is not humongous, because you see the heavens and the earth, and they're so big. That is why those who realize the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they cannot not worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They have to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Ahlullah, the awliya of Allah, the people close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they realize the greatness of Allah. That is why it is not difficult for them to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They realize how powerful this king is. The kings of this world, people start loving them and people start obeying them automatically. Look, he's the king of this area of the world, right? He's the president of this country of the world. Now the president has to be obeyed. Automatically, there will be many, many people who like the president, who want to be in his company, who want to get the favor of the president, who want to obey the president, right? Why? Because he is so powerful. He is the king of this area. But this president is the weak president. He's the weak king. He becomes sick. The king of this world, he can become sick. The king of this world, he can make wrong decisions. The king of this world actually fears sometimes the people. Sometimes he says that, okay, my popularity is going down. Then the king of the world actually So the king of this, kings of this world, these people, they are very weak kings. And this king, the king of all the heavens of the universe, this is a very strong king. You cannot imagine the magnanimity of this king. That is why those who have realized the greatness of this king of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They cannot not worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why the Ahlullah, they spend their lives worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is written in the books that Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah used to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He spent his life in such a way for 40 years. He prayed his Fajr prayers with the same wuzu that he used to do for Isha prayers. So he spent his whole night worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For people like us, this is a huge achievement. But if you keep the magnanimity, the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is nothing compared to, this is nothing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's greatness. So the Ahlullah, they've spent all their lives worshipping Allah because they realize the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We slack in our worship because we don't realize the greatness of Allah. The one who realizes the greatness of Allah cannot help but he has to worship, he has to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why Hazrat Shaykh Ghulam Habib rahimahullah ta'ala, he's a very big Shaykh of Pakistan, died about 25 years ago. Spend his days and nights worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, calling people towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Spent a very big portion of his life just in the worship of Allah. And people used to say that, Shaykh, you are 88 years old and you have this problem of diabetes and you have all these different diseases and you still travel from one place to the other. Why? So he used to say that what I know you don't know. What I see, you don't see. Why he used to say this? Because he used to understand the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That how big is this Lord? How can I disobey a king like that? And he would realize that this universe is so big and the Lord is so big. And we, this whole earth is such a small piece, such a small dot on this in this universe. And my wujud, my being is even smaller than that. So what a big thing it is for that Lord to actually converse with me. The king of this world, when he talks to us, if the president of this country comes and talks to us, we will tell everyone that today I had a conversation with the president. We'll be so proud of this. And this Lord of the universe, this Lord of this 93 billion light years wide universe, he says that you raise your hand and make dua to me and I'll respond to your dua. So he's giving us this huge opportunity. So these Ahlullah, they realize the greatness, the opportunity you have of conversing with this great, this powerful Lord. That is why you cannot stop them from worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the one who realizes the greatness of Allah will definitely go ahead and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Shaykh Ghulam Habib rahimahullah, at the age of 88, would travel from here to there, calling people to Allah, giving lectures and all that. One fine day after Fajr, it was his habit that after Fajr, he would give this speech in his own masjid, lecture in his own masjid, up to the time of Ishraq. And at Ishraq time, he will do the Nawafil of Ishraq and then he would go back to his house, which was right next to the masjid. And his mother was sick. So after Fajr prayers, when he was delivering this lecture, the mother died in the house. So people, family members from the house, they sent a small note while he was delivering this lecture that your mother is very, very sick. Please shorten your lecture and come to the house. But he continued. Then finally, because he was not coming to the house, they sent this chit saying that your mother has died. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. He still continued with his lecture. And he was giving this lecture. And he heard that his mother died, so his eyes were filled with tears. But he would still not stop. That I cannot stop the work of Allah. This Lord is too great to stop the work of Allah. So whatever his schedule was, he did according to his schedule. up to Ishraq, he did this lecture, then he prayed his 2 rakat nafil, then he went back in his house with tears in his eyes. Why would he do that? Why did these people spend their lives doing this? Because they understood the greatness, that the Lord is too great and too powerful. And worshipping Him is difficult for some people, but the one who realizes the power of Allah, for them it is the best opportunity ever given, that the King has given you the opportunity to converse with Him. لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. That His is whatever is in the heavens and the earth. And then Allah Ta'ala says, كُلٌّ لَهُ قَانِتُونَ. Whatever is in the heavens and the earth obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does it mean that whatever is in the heavens and the earth obeys Allah? Has it ever happened that the night just stays on and the days does not come? Has it ever happened that the sun would take a different route from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordained? No. They all obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever Allah ta'ala has set for them, the sun comes out at its time, the moon comes out at its time, the stars come out at their own time. The earth is rotating in whatever time Allah ta'ala has ordained for it. So whatever is in the heavens and the earth is not only something that belongs to Allah, but whatever is in the heavens and the earth, all of it obeys Allah. And we are nothing compared to the size of the earth, and the size of the earth is nothing compared to the size of the universe. So it just does not seem right that the human should not worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The one who realizes the greatness of Allah in its truth will not raise his head up from sajda. Such great is the Lord. Such is the power of that Lord. Badi'us samawati wal ard. Badi'us samawati wal ard. The beginner of the heavens and the earth. He is the creator of the heavens and the earth, of the skies and the earth. وَإِذَا قَزَى أَمْرًا. When he decides on an affair, فَإِنَّمَا يَقُولُ. Then truly he only has to say this, لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. That be, and it is. That it is not difficult for him to move the heavens and the earth, to move the sun and the moon. For us to move from one place to another is very difficult. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala says, be, and it is. This 93 billion year light years wide universe, you can move it from one place to the another without any problem. So this is the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So with this powerful King, how can somebody disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It's a very, very dangerous step to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Such a powerful King. And when somebody has this power that whatever he says happens, then automatically people start loving that person. Right? No matter how bad the King and the President is, you will find people who will love that person. Why? The reason is, it is human psychology. That the person who is powerful, people tend to have a soft heart towards him. They also want that powerful man should know me and should have this love for me. That is why the Ahlullah, not only they worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they have this deep love for Allah. Because they realize the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So among these people who used to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was Ibrahim ibn Adham rahimahullah. He was a very big sheikh of his time. And he decided that yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes it that you go to his house. You go to the haram, to the Makkah Mukarrama. So he decided that he's going to go for Hajj. So for normal people, Hajj is a farz. And they say, I have to do this in a lifetime. So they just want to get it done. In today's time, we want to actually do it comfortably. We say that, okay, it should be an easy type of Hajj. I should not go through too much trouble. I should have proper transport, proper housing, proper hotel. Everything should be easy so that I complete this and I'm done with this, because this is an order, I have to do this. And the one who loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a different state of mind. He is thinking in this way, that my Lord has asked me to come to His house. This is a very big opportunity to make Him happy. So now he decided that he is going to go for Hajj. And he said that this is an opportunity. My loved one has called me. This was his state. So I have to go in such a way that I show that I have come here to show my love to him. So this is another way of doing Hajj. One way of doing Hajj is that, okay, just get it done. Right? And one way of doing Hajj is that now I have gotten this opportunity that this powerful king has called me to his palace. Right? If the king of today or the president of today calls us to his palace, we will make very good preparation. We will make sure that he takes a very good impression of us. So the Ahlullah, the awliya of Allah, when they are called for Hajj, they also have this thing that when I go there, he should like me. Right? So I should go in such a way. So Ibrahim ibn Hadam traveled from his city to Makkah Mukarramah. And the way he traveled is that he said that I am going to travel on foot. I will travel on my foot. I will travel on my legs. So he started walking. Every 3 or 4 steps he would take, and then he would put down the prayer rug and he would recite 2 rakat nafl. Then he would stand up and he will walk a few yards. Then he will put the prayer rug and pray 2 rakat nafl. In this way, it took him 2.5 years. 2.5 years of constantly walking from his house to Makkatul Mukarramah. And after 2.5 years, he reached Makkah Mukarramah in front of the Baytullah. This was the love that he showed towards Allah. This was with the amount of love he went there. And when he went there, the first dua that he made in front of this house of Allah, that, O Allah, I have come to you. The way you should be worshipped, I was not able to worship you. Allah. So for 2.5 years of walking towards that house, and 2.5 years of just doing nawafil upon nawafil upon nawafil for 2.5 years. And when he reached that house, he did not say that, oh, I have done a very big job, nobody else could have done this. Instead he said that, oh Allah, the way you should have been worshipped, I was not able to worship. So this is the sign of love. When you love somebody in this world, you tell him, you give him a lot of gifts. But even after giving a lot of gifts, you say that I have not given you enough. I want to give you more. Why? Because you say this is your love. And this is same is the case with the Ahlullah, the people of Allah. That they worship Allah quite a lot. And then they say that this is not enough. This is not according to your status, O Allah, that we should have done more. So those who realize the magnanimity, the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it becomes very difficult for them not to worship. For us, it is difficult to worship Allah, right? For us, it is difficult to wake up for Fajr. But for people who realize the greatness of Allah, the power of Allah, the greatness, the magnanimity of Allah, for them, worshipping is not a problem. Feeling that love of Allah is not a problem. They see it as an opportunity. That the Lord has given us the opportunity to converse with this powerful king. So they worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we'll do the translation one more time. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wa qalu ittakhazallahu walada. And they say that Allah has taken a child. Subhanahu, he is pure. He is free from all that. Ballahu ma fis samawati wal ard. Instead, whatever is in the heavens and the earth belongs to him. كُلٌّ لَهُ قَانِتُونَ, and all that is in the heavens and the earth is obeying Him. بَدِيعُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, the starter, the creator of the heavens and the earth. وَإِذَا قَضَى أَمْرًا, and when He decides on an affair, فَإِنَّمَا يَقُولُ, then He only says, لَهُ, to that thing, كُنْ فَيَكُونَ, be and it happens. So this is the translation of ayah number 116 and 117. May Allah Ta'ala make us understand the magnanimity, the greatness of Allah. May Allah Ta'ala help us obey Him, help us worship Him. May Allah Ta'ala fill our hearts with His love. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.